What's up, Brittany and Icons, and welcome back to Dare to Be Iconic, the podcast made for icons daring to be themselves. I'm your host, Amanda Policelli, and today we are joined by a very, very special guest, the founder of the F1 Girlies, Ella. Ella is an everyday icon because she is creating a small revolution for women in motorsports. She is cultivating a beautiful community of young women who are daring to embrace their inner fangirl. And that is what Ella and I discussed today. So let's get into it. Are you ready for your tea time slash Brittany and Icons? Because it's starting now. Ella, welcome to the Dare to Be Iconic podcast. Before we get into the interview portions, what does iconic mean to you? And how do you dare to be iconic in your everyday life?
So to me, being iconic means just being like uniquely you, really staying true to what you care about, what you love, what you do. And that way people just recognize you and they align with your values and they really like follow you. And How do I do that every day? I just challenge myself to do things differently than others. And just, I try to always bring something new to this world and really just being myself and challenging me and others to do things differently.
I love that. And I can really relate to that on how I dare to be iconic, but specifically when it comes to being a woman in motorsports. So Ella, you are the founder of the F1 Girlies. And I would love if you can just talk a little bit more about why you started F1 Girlies, because we think it's so powerful to have a space for women in motorsports.
So I really started the account and the website because I'm a content creator like for beauty and fashion. And when I started just posting about F1 just regularly, just to share my passion, people really started coming to me and saying, there is no space for women who love fashion, beauty. There, you get stereotyped and you get judged when you like F1 and you really like fashion. So I decided, okay, let me just create that space myself. I'm going to do it. And people are going to be able to just have little space to make friends and communicate. But yes, it did not stay small. Everyone just seemed to really like it.
Yeah, and I think that stays true to that lesson that is not only the foundation of Dare to Be Iconic, but what you were talking about beforehand on what iconic means to you and how you dare to be iconic in your everyday life is by staying true to who you are and not trying to be anything that you're not. And I think that's what people really resonate with, is that authenticity. What have you seen as a thought leader in this space and creating and cultivating this community of strong women who are embracing who they are?
Well, like I've seen like a lot of just women coming to the space where we communicate, like the Discord server, and saying, wow, I feel like I belong here. I feel like I can be here and I can have my own opinions. A lot of people just seem to enjoy being fans because of this space. People really just seems to enjoy just being themselves. I feel like as a woman, people really judge everything that you do and everything that you say. It's never good enough and you will get judged no matter what. That's something I noticed even just as a regular creator. I get comments on everything. My hair is not okay. My clothes are not okay. My size is not okay. Everything. I feel like this is one of the aspects that really stops fans from just developing their passion. Because when you feel that judged, especially like for the younger girls, like 14, 15, that's a period in your life where you are growing, you are learning to love yourself. So I feel like if you get judged at that period of your life, there are chances that you will just give up and stop talking about it.
And I feel like at that age, like you mentioned, it's such a pivotal time. We're going through so much emotionally, right? Our bodies are going through stuff, or we're in that weird period of developing who we are, but not really knowing who we are. And people just love to just bash us for enjoying something. Like, why can't I just enjoy what I want to enjoy and not receive negative feedback on me just living my life?
It's really important to just have a space where you can really truly be yourself, because when you don't have that, like I said before, you really can't express yourself fully, because the second you are judged, it really ruins your chances to be yourself. So that's really why I wanted like a really, truly 100% safe space for everyone who love motorsports, but also love fashion, pop culture, just anything, just a space where you can make friends and just be yourself. That was like the main reason why I started everything. That's really the most important part of all of it. Like, I'm just me. I'm just a regular student who does this. So I can't really bring that much to this sphere.
Interesting though, Ella, that you're saying that, because it takes so much courage for someone to honestly just start using their voice to empower other individuals to do the same. And you're doing something so beautiful, which is creating a safe community for female fans in a male-dominated space that, you know, we get judged a lot for. And one thing is, have you seen the term fangirl be used a lot in your community?
I feel like realistically, it is still really a negatively used word in a certain way. But I feel like this is still a bit like a thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like with the younger generation, they are reclaiming the word.
Yes.
I'm really noticing that. People are really just starting to use it because it's what it is. We are fangirls. And there is nothing weird or wrong about that. It's really just a term to qualify who we are. So I'm noticing really people are starting to just reclaim it and use it non-ironically because just a word.
Yes, literally. And I think it's so interesting that a little word like fangirl can create so much like negative chaos.
Yes.
I don't know who was like, you know what, let's pick this term as a term to demean a whole bunch of young women who just love something. Whether you're a fangirl of F1, fangirl of Taylor Swift, fangirl of anything, right? Like, that was the term that they decided, oh, let's use that against them.
Yes, it's so like, just hearing the word fangirl brings me back to this era of just being a teenage girl who is being judged. That just always brings me back. It's incredible how much power just a small word has on an entire generation of girls who are just trying to have interests. It's exactly. Really crazy.
No, it's like the most insane thing ever. And like, Ella, when I, oh my God, okay. Here's a fun little tidbit. When I first started like posting on LinkedIn specifically, right? I was so terrified to like even talk about F1 in general, because I was like, who am I? Like genuinely, like I'm just a fangirl because of everything that was told to me prior, that my thoughts and my words and everything, you basically mean nothing is what was told to me, right? So I was like, how do I use my voice in a space where I have a lot of thoughts and opinions and I want to share them? And I know it's important and I know other people will relate, but if I label myself as a fangirl, people aren't going to take me seriously. But the more I started doing it and having the courage to actually be like, yeah, you know what, I am a fangirl, so what, the more people, at least on LinkedIn, which was very surprising, like were into it, like they were actually very accepting of it. And do you think now, because the younger generation, like we're embracing that term fully and we're taking our power back in it, do you think with the future of F1 that F1 itself is going to embrace that term more and more? And how do you think they're going to activate it?
I feel like F1 doesn't really have a choice to embrace it because it's their new reality. It's coming.
Yeah.
Women are more and more interested. And when your demographic of fans is changing, you have no choice but to adapt. And honestly, I think we are already starting to see it. Like, teens are just catering to the female gaze a lot more than they were before. And even I was talking to my mom during the Monaco Grand Prix weekend, and she was saying, when my dad was younger and he was watching with her, when before I was probably even born, things were not like that in F1. She never noticed this like positive energy bring like fans together and really including everyone. It really changed a lot already, and a lot of people are not really noticing just how different it's already starting to be.
And I mean, it's really the female fans that bring all the good vibes. I mean, we bring the signs, we bring the cute merch. We make a space for ourselves when maybe F1 wasn't making spaces for us.
It's really not that hard to just include women and just do a tiny thing that makes you feel like you are seen and heard in that space. And honestly, I'm seeing that too with all the makeup brands sponsoring liveries in sports. Oh. Honestly, that's like probably one of my favorite things so far, because people are not realizing how much makeup brands can bring to a sport. They are an amazing sponsor.
Like all these female-centric brands, like dipping their foot into the pool of motorsports, will bring a whole new generation of female fans that maybe didn't know about it beforehand. So like you said, I don't think it's hard at all. I think they need to do better.
Just seeing like all the outrage of people being mad that makeup is coming into F1, I see that's really confusing to me, because if you really like the sports, you understand that sponsors are such an important part of it. Any brand can really sponsor an F1 team or F1 Academy. It's important. It's a really big part of the sport. So being mad at that, I don't really understand. Because would you be mad if a new energy drink was sponsoring the team? Would you be mad if like any other brand was doing this? You probably wouldn't be mad.
Exactly. But they're just mad because it's a makeup brand and they don't want to see the lipstick liveries.
It's really not bringing anything to anyone, anywhere.
Yeah. It's like not moving us forward, but it's also not moving us back. We're kind of just like stagnant with this. Like,
yes, and it really relates to the fans deciding if they want change or not, because we are seeing a lot of people are angry at every tiny single change that F1 is making. Like people were so mad when the halo was introduced, even though it's saving life. It is saving people from dying. It's a good change, but people were mad. So that's why I think at the end of the day, if you don't want something to change, you won't really care whatever the change is. You're going to be mad at the end of the day anyway.
Yeah, and we just have to focus on ourselves and how we can ourselves create that space and hope in return that it's reciprocated back.
Yeah, and I don't think it's wasted energy either to be making ourselves a space, because it's working. The amount of young women who are saying, I don't know anything about F1, but I want to learn, and then they come to my comment section or the Discord and they are like, I'm learning. People are telling them just what to know. And so at the end of the day, it's working. It's doing something. People are interested and they want to learn. So it's not wasted energy to just fight about it and just keep working on it. It's doing something.
Yeah, it's doing something good. And like, why wouldn't you want more fans in the space? Like, I just feel like, why are we going to get mad at people? Like, no matter how you get into F1, whether it's through Drive to Survive, whether it's through TikTok, whether it's through seeing an Instagram page where you're like, oh my God, I really want to join this community. Like, why does it matter how we became a fan? Mm-hmm. Why does it not matter? Oh, we are a fan. And that's the most important thing.
Like, I'm really grateful for the way that I was brought into the sport. My dad really showed me everything. And he was so just encouraging about it. He wanted me to learn. And not once had he had any issue with the fact that I'm a girl. He had no issue. He just took the time to teach me everything and just make me really enjoy it. And imagine if we gave that same energy to every new fan entering the sport. It's so welcoming and helping to know that people just want you to know and want you to share their passion with them. That's the most amazing thing.
It's so beautiful to see. And I really wanted to touch on this real quick, because you mentioned your dad being so instrumental in you becoming a fan of F1. And I think it's so beautiful. I know you can relate on this with me, but I hope some of the Radiant Icons who are listening can as well. But I've never been really a sports girly like my whole life. Like, we grew up in hockey. I'm sure if anyone who's watched any of my Instagram stories, we know that my dad, Papa Policelli, he loves a good hockey game and he loves the Rangers. But like, we didn't know what Formula One was at all. And when I started getting into it, it was because of my best friend, and she told me to watch DTS, and, you know, we binged all of it, and my dad was watching it on the TV with me. Like, you know, when they say they're not interested in your shows and then they become interested, like, that was my dad. But what I think is so beautiful, especially in like the recent couple of months, is like Lando won in Miami, right? Like we all know I was dying for that, like certified Lando Norris early till I die. And my dad literally knew where I was. Like he dropped me off at a bar to like hang out with one of my friends, Izzy. The funniest thing was, and it was so cute because my dad was like texting me updates through the race of like where Lando was, like I wasn't watching it. And when Lando had won, he told me congratulations. And then even, you know, after Miami for the Monaco Grand Prix, my dad, he came into my room. I was still asleep. And he was like, the race is so good, Amanda, you have to watch it. So I got up in bed, unwillingly, to watch it with my dad. But like having those moments to share with him when I wasn't really into hockey beforehand or into sports, like it just wasn't entertaining or appetizing to me. But to now like see him pay attention somewhat to a sport that I really love and to be able to have those memories with my dad is something so beautiful. And yes. I think that speaks to that bridge, like with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, right? The amount of fathers and daughters coming together to watch football because Taylor Swift was there and the dad loves football, right? Like I'm kind of seeing that mirrored in my own life with my dad, because I love Formula One and he may not know a lot about it, but he's kind of interested because I'm interested in it. I don't shut up about it. So he's probably like, I have to, but you know, like that beautiful bridge. And I feel like, why can't we have that with everyone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why can't we have these beautiful moments like you with your dad, me with my dad? Like why can't we have beautiful moments like that, that bridge it together? My dad's not asking me, do I just watch the sport because of Lando Norris? Like he's genuinely asking me what's going on in the race.
Yeah, like my dad and I, we update each other on every single news. And I'm a newer fan, so I don't know everything. So let's say I'm seeing a new thing. Someone made a change on the car. I go to him and I tell him, I saw that. What's that? Explain it to me. And he does. He just explains me how everything's working. And that's such a positive energy to give to someone else to just learn. I think it would be so nice if older fans were all just so nice with newer fans to just inspire them and let them learn. That's really, I think that would be so nice.
I think it would be so much more powerful if it was just like this beautiful trickling down effect of both sides coming together and being like, we love this sport. Let's join forces.
I feel like in a way it's very specific to Formula One to, or just motorsport in general, because you don't really see people being mad that you are going to a hockey game if you don't know anything about hockey. Like I'm Canadian. Yes. I go to a hockey game just on a random Tuesday just for fun. Like people are not mad at you. People are just telling you what's happening. It's so different from other sports. People get so worked up about everything that you say and do in Formula One when realistically, if you are watching, you have interest because it's a very time consuming. It's an entire weekend of just watching everything. If you watch everything, not everyone watches everything, but that's okay too. But like it's time consuming and it's very intense to be a fan of.
No, it's so intense to be a fan of motorsports. It takes so much time and dedication. And it, like you mentioned, it's also okay to be a casual viewer of the sport. Like, I don't think that's normalized a lot as well. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's like the worst. People are so mad at you if you say that you are just watching casually to enjoy it and learn. People get so mad at you.
I've
never seen anyone being mad at me because I watched golf once and didn't really understand everything. No one would say that. It's literally just a part of being a fan of sports.
Yeah. Like, I just don't know why there's so much judgment between, oh my God, you have to prove yourself. What does DRS mean? Can you name other drivers on the Ferrari boys? Or, oh my gosh, you don't watch a whole weekend of Formula One? Like, you are such a fake fan. Like, what is this? Can we all just be fans and enjoy it however we want to enjoy it? And I think that's what's so powerful with not only this conversation that we're continuing between our collaboration, but I think it's so powerful in general with the communities that are growing and developing within our sport. We're accepting everyone and anyone, and we're truly, really just helping all of us, whether if we don't understand certain things, like we're teaching them, or if we just want to, oh my God, fangirl about X, Y, and Z, like we're going to fangirl about X, Y, and Z. We're going to create these beautiful friendships and memories. Okay, Ella, so we had such a good conversation on how you can dare to embrace your inner fangirl. But before we end our tea time sesh, I wanted to ask you, what are some iconic insights that you can leave with the Radiant Icon community, and where can they find you?
So I really want to say, just don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be afraid to just, I know that's like literally the biggest stereotype ever, but don't be afraid to be yourself and just enjoy what you like. And don't be afraid to seek out other people who like the same things that as you. Just try to embrace everything about your passions and just live them at 100%. Just enjoy everything you do. That's really the biggest thing. And you can find me on social media at the F1 Girlies, and you can check out our July cover that comes out this week.
That is our tea time sesh for today, Radiant Icons. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Ella, the founder of the F1 Girlies. You can connect with Ella in the show notes below. All her information will be there. And guess what? You can read that July cover in what? The show notes below. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And if you did, make sure to leave a review, leave a comment, leave a rating, share it with your friends, share it with anyone and anyone. But I will see you guys next week. Remember, Radiant Icons, dare to be iconic. Bye.